Lori was neither stupid nor belligerent, and in the end she paid an awful price. But I'm getting ahead of the story. For the moment, seeing her with her pad and pen inevitably reminded me of our college days, when Lori was a bit of a grind, at least compared to me. We rarely took classes together. Our interests were not the same. I was drawn to history, Lori to psych, English, and film. And anyway, we did not want to become one of those nauseating, inseparable couples that mooned around campus side by side like Siamese twins. In 4 years, the one class we shared was Edmund Morgan's Intro to Early American History, which we took freshman year when we'd just started dating. I used to steal Lori's notebook before exams to catch up on the lectures I'd skipped. I remember gaping at her class notes, page after page of neat cursive. She captured long phrases from the lectures verbatim, broke the lectures down into branching concepts and subconcepts, added her own thoughts as she went. There were few of the cross-outs or scribbles or snaking arrows that filled my sloppy, frantic, clownish class notes. In fact, that notebook from Edmund Morgan's lectures was part of the revelation of meeting Lori. What struck me was not just that she was probably smarter than me. Coming from a small town, Watertown, New York, I was prepared for that. I fully expected Yale to be swarming with brainy, worldly kids like Lori Gold. I had studied up on them by reading Salinger stories and watching Love Story and The Paper Chase. No, the epiphany I had looking at Lori's notebook was not that she was smart, but that she was unknowable. She was every bit as complex as I was. As a kid, I had always believed there was a special drama about being Andy Barber, but the interior experience of being Lori Gold must have been just as fraught with secrets and sorrows. She would always be a mystery, as all other people are. Try as I might to penetrate her by talking, kissing, stabbing myself into her, the best I would ever do was to know her just a little. It is a childish realization, I admit. No one worth knowing can be quite known. No one worth possessing can be quite possessed. But after all, we were children. "Well," Jonathan said, looking up from his papers, "this is just the initial package from Neil LaJudas. All I have here is the indictment and some of the police reports, so obviously we don't have all the prosecution's evidence yet. But we have a general picture of the case against Jacob. We can begin talking, at least, and try to get a general picture of what the trial will look like. We can start to figure out what we need to do between now and then. Jacob, before we begin, I want to say a couple of things to you in particular." "Okay." "First, you're the client here. That means that as far as possible, you are the decision maker. Not your parents, not me, not anyone else. This is your case. You are always in control. Nothing is going to happen here that you don't agree with, okay?" "Okay."